through this. You know, it's tough. No one likes losing.
It's time for Blackhawk 720, your insider key to the Hawks.
At the United Center is up for grabs.
Take the Blackhawks to go.
Fire, score!
Blackhawk 720, the only Hawks podcast worth listening to. Now, here's Chris Bowden and Joe Brand, podcast royalty.
Hello, everyone. Another week, another Blackhawk 720 podcast. We are recording live from Joe Brand's pad. And I kind of like it. This is becoming kind of preferable. You should just do your sports cast on Saturday. Can I do my Blackhawks live show from here, too? This is very comfortable, and the parking fees aren't nearly as high either.
That's true. Yeah, no, the convenience for you is splendid. I remember when I used to get to go to the United Center and practices and just be right down the block. But yeah, a little upgrade of the podcast room during the quarantine.
We did this one other time from here.
We did, yeah right at the beginning of all this. And that's what we were talking about.
And there have been upgrades. And in addition, we have ourselves a nice little visitor you may hear through the course of the podcast. Tell us about some meowing we may hear on the other side of the door.
Yeah, hopefully the meowing is limited from the third member of the Blackhawk 720 podcast today. That's our adopted cat, Plankton. He's got one eye, and we picked him up during quarantine. Just a little black cat, and really fallen in love with a cat. I never thought I'd be one to say that. I still don't think I'm a cat person. I just like my cat.
I don't think I am either, but he's adorable.
He's okay. Like I said, he was hamming it up for you a little bit, rolls on his back and asks for some belly scratches, and then he starts nipping at you. But no, for the most part, he's good. Yeah, he gets jealous, though, whenever I do this stuff, because then he starts meowing in the back.
There was another meow right there. You may pick up on some of these during the course. But we have great stuff to talk about here, and yes, we're not declaring the Blackhawks by any means Stanley Cup contenders, but they come back with a couple of victories at home against, yes, the Detroit Red Wings. But still, I think we've been talking throughout the last couple of weeks about the importance this season to show incremental game-by-game progress. It may not necessarily always be linear and a step in the right direction every single game. But since that opener in Tampa Bay, you can continue to make the argument and finally get results this weekend against the Detroit Red Wings that you're seeing progress game by game. I think it was fairly black and white through what we saw in the 4-1 and 6-2 victories.
Yeah, and that's funny because the last time we talked, we were talking about how it's not going to be linear, gradual improvement, but that's pretty much been the case for this team. And granted, that ties into the opponents that they have, but I mean, listen, you can only play that the teams you're scheduled against, and the Blackhawks really took care of business over the weekend. It's great to see them do that against the old-time rival that kind of gets revived with this random season. But we were talking before the pod, I think the biggest thing is the positives to pull from are Pia Suter, Kevin Lankinen, the power play, among other things, but I think those are the three biggest. And those are all great things for the future, not just this year. It's for the future of the organization, for the future of the team. And I think that's what Blackhawk fans need to look forward to the most and just try to pull from. Again, with whatever criticism you have of the team, you can't ignore some of these positives. And whether or not they're playing the Detroit Red Wings, these are positives for the entire future. And I think that's the most promising thing about it all.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing are possibilities here. You know, another guy, Philip Kurashev, continuing to show very well. Cementing a spot, at least for the time being, on that second line, playing very legitimately as a second line type player during Sunday's game in particular, a little bit from Friday's game and Sunday's game in particular. You saw them attack the net, score goals from below the dots, between the circles. And to have a 21-year-old kid like Kurashev, who isn't physically filled out yet, and to have a 5'9", 180-pound Pia Suter, stick his nose right where it should be if you're a hockey player, and not be afraid to go up against the big guys. Now, granted, there were certainly times over the weekend where Detroit could have pushed back a little bit harder. I'm sure their coaching staff wasn't very pleased about that. But by the same token, the Blackhawks being able to take advantage of that, and you know, we talked after Friday night's game, okay, you tasted success. How are you going to respond again versus a team you just beat who can do some film study on you and is coming right back, sitting in a hotel room for a day and a half on an early Sunday, on a Sunday morning game? What is your response going to be? And right from the outset, it's never going to be a full 60 minutes, but pretty much right from the outset, the Blackhawks controlled that game up and down, and Yes, it did seem at times like Detroit wasn't pushing back hard enough. But by the fact that the Hawks were dictating play, and I think for the first real time since Jeremy Colleton took over, playing the exact type of style that he wants in terms of system, structure, pressure, being relentless, and for the most part controlling the neutral zones and the offensive zones and not spending time scrambling down on your own end. Yes, there were a couple instances of that over the weekend, but for the most part, they controlled the play. Again, the caveat is it's Detroit, but it's better than the alternative.
Yeah, and a couple of the things, when the season started, a couple of games against Tampa, a couple of games against Florida, the common theme was, you know, they got off to a decent start in that first period and then just weren't able to maintain that the rest of the way. And, of course, those are tough opponents, too. But that didn't really happen in Detroit, except, ironically, Jeremy Colleton said he wasn't pleased with the first period on Friday. They still ended up winning that game. But I think Sunday was just a culmination of doing what they wanted to do and continuing that. And I think a big reason of that is the success of the power play, because you're just, I mean, Eddie Olczyk talked about it on the broadcast, how you're just in that mode and that zone where, okay, we get in the power play, yeah, we have a lot of confidence in scoring right now. And again, we've talked about how that was never the case in the past, but the fact that that first goal by Pia Suter, that was a result of the Blackhawks not allowing Detroit to clear the puck on the power play. So it's just that little thing that continues that momentum, that continues that offensive surge. It's not that, you know, it wasn't the most beautiful power play goal. It was just the fundamentalness of we are keeping it in that zone to try and create an opportunity. That happened. So it's those little things that have been, I think, really showcased over the weekend how positive things can go offensively for them, but also just coming together a little bit more as a team. And, of course, it's going to be interesting to see how this changes or doesn't change against Nashville, but all those things working in the direction they want to against Detroit is a very positive thing.
Let's hear from Suter. Again, a little bit from him post-game on Sunday after scoring his first NHL goal, his first NHL hat-trick in the same game. But he was first asked about his willingness at his size to go to the net. That was his reputation coming over from the Swiss League, whereas Dominik Kubalik has the bomb and also has a willingness to go to the net. But he has the bomb. Suter is more a, you know, shift around, find those open areas, those open spaces where you can. And that was evident in his first couple of goals, the power play goal, the even strength goal. And then he unleashed a surprising little wrist bomb on that 2-on-1 to cap off the hat trick, in which he was coming up 2-on-1 with Patrick Kane, and he wasn't going to feed it over. I think Kane wanted him to take the shot anyway, but showing great willingness to take that shot and beat Bernier, who probably knew it was going to be coming. But here's Suter, again, talking about his willingness to crash the net whenever possible.
Yeah, it's been always part of my game. When I went there, I always scored a bit, so I just kept doing it and worked out well mostly. So sometimes it does, like today, sometimes not, but for sure trying to get into those areas when I don't have the puck and to help teammates out and, yeah, get those rebounds.
Pius, what's it like to score your first NHL goal and a hat trick in the same game?
You know, at first was happy to get the first one finally. Yeah, made it easier after. And then off the second one, I feel like, yeah, now you need to get that third, especially when the second one is dead early. So I had some chances, and then, yeah, at the end it worked out. It was a great feeling. It was fun, gave me some confidence too. And I think yeah, it's a good start from something. Keep going.
Just what was that feeling like once you scored the third goal and just celebrating that?
Yeah, I mean, I was pumped up. I was excited because, yeah, well, you have to. You know what the next one's going to mean, so just kind of happy it worked out. You got the chance and put in, and was just really happy also to kind of put the game away as well.
As we talked about before, this is another guy showing Blackhawks fans possibilities of what he can do, and that everything that we've been told about this guy from those who had seen him play previously, well, there's the evidence right there that he can do it. This doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be getting a hat trick a week in his NHL career, but again, a valuable piece. He's got to like playing between Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat. That helps too. But those guys seem to enjoy playing with him as well. So an optimistic note from this latest European import that the Blackhawks have brought over.
Yeah, well, really quick, hopefully the listeners aren't too irked by the cat meowing in the background.
I officially declare him the Blackhawks 720 podcast mascot now.
Okay, maybe we can get David Hochberg to sponsor it or something, make a donation for every time he meows.
It's like a certain guy that we know you hear laughing in the background of a baseball booth.
Exactly. Yeah, he's that third member. Well, getting to Pia Suter, because I also think this was kind of shown to Blackhawks fans and the NHL in that goal that got taken away against Florida when he did the little spinorama and giving it to Kane, and I forgot all about that. Right? I mean, that shows his offensive ability, but yeah, coming over in Mark Lazarus's article on The Athletic, they talked about how he was called opportunistic. Was a strong trait that Pia Suter had, and will that translate over to the NHL level? But I think those three goals and almost four goals that Suter scored just kind of showcased the different type of offensive player he can be. He's in the right spot at the right time, we saw in that first power play goal, and then he nearly completed the hat trick towards the end of the first period when he's coming down and he actually drops it back to Patrick Kane.
He had a couple other chances before capping it off.
Yeah. And so I thought it was interesting when Jeremy Colliton said that, how he likes his authority to just go and shoot, not just pass it to Kaner, which is what happened for the third goal of the day that completed the hat trick. But it almost feels like to me that Suter realized, okay, I dropped it back to Patrick Kane, probably not the best situation right there. And then in his third goal, Kane's at an actual better opportunity to be the one to score the goal, and Suter decides to take it on his own. Now, again, even before that, he nearly had that short side goal where he wristed it on the other side of Bernier. But that's what I mean. You're seeing multiple outlets of offensive talent from this Pia Suter guy, and I think that's really exciting to see. I also want to say just some cool nuggets, because he's the first Blackhawk to score the hat trick in his first three goals since Bill Kendall of 1933. Those were Kendall's only three goals that year.
All right, Killjoy.
He won a Stanley Cup with the Hawks a year later. And how about this? He served in the Army for Canada from 1942 to 44 in World War II. And it takes me so much to not say Team Canada when I say that. Served in the Army for Canada. No, Canada the country, not the hockey team. And he's in the Manitoba Hockey Hall of Fame as well. Bill Kendall, the last Blackhawk to score three goals in his first three goals.
Yeah, and the only rookie to score a hat trick earlier. Now I forgot the guy's name. It was we talked about
Art
it the
other something.
Day. Yeah, Art. As you look it up, he did it in his fourth game, scoring a career hat trick.
Art Somers.
Yes, and it was 1926?
29.
I knew it was a round kind of number, so
yeah, just flip
forgive
the number.
Me. I'm old. But let's talk more young. And the other thing that we've seen develop over the course of the last three games is Kevin Lankinen kind of take control of the net for now. The league will get to know him as he gets to know the league, too. But it's been very impressive. We gave him the lanky nickname, I think, in our last podcast, coming off that overtime loss to the Florida Panthers in his NHL debut. But with each passing game, he's looked better and better. Allowed just one goal in that Friday night game as he got a second crack at it. And he talked afterwards about how excited he was to get that opportunity again, even though he was another goalie who gave up a five spot. But interesting stuff from him about what he took from his time in the bubble, how he was, you know, never in uniform for a game, but used all that observation time down there for that month or so, 3 weeks to month or so that he was down there, to take in games in person, observe these great professional goalies from within the building and how they handle themselves. And they all do some things differently. And then he applied what is most comfortable to him to try and build on his game. And he's a real confident kid, very calm back there. And what we didn't see from him that we saw from Delia and Subban was uncertainty with the puck, uncertainty with better rebound control. You know, he's very decisive in what he wanted to do and very calm in his net. You didn't see him get very scrambly he carried that over again. He was only beaten on the power play in Sunday's game. So no doubt he has earned another opportunity on Tuesday when the Hawks go to Nashville for back-to-backs Tuesday and Wednesday. It's hard to believe that he would be in net for a Wednesday game, but you would almost guarantee he's in there Tuesday as we record here on Monday afternoon. And very obviously and very clearly, he's the first guy to have stepped up in this three-man competition.
He's totally putting falsehood to every opinion I had about the goalie situation heading into this season. And not the fact that I wasn't betting on Kevin Lankinen having the best performance in the early going, but
and he has the same frame as you.
Yeah, he's, and again,
string beanie.
That was never a knock on Kevin Lankinen. It's just you often don't see a goalie that shape and be that productive. But I mean, this guy has really come out strong, and it another example of some gradual linear improvement, and it really goes to show how much comfortability and confidence can play a role in that situation. And he was saying that after just two games playing with the Blackhawks. And again, I was the one saying, oh, you know, bouncing around from goalie to goalie is going to be good for everybody, and it turns out to be the guy that's been in there day in and day out the one that's been most productive in Kevin Lankinen. So again, this is a positive for the team and for the organization moving forward, not just for this year. You go to Sunday's game, the two goals he gives up are both shorthanded. One was a 5-on-3. Not even to mention, he was right on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of just Tyler Bertuzzi, kind of muscling it past. I mean, and Duncan Keith was right on the play as well, which is another ode to the special teams working well in that situation. So I'm really excited to see this guy get a shutout because he's kind of deserved one the past two games. But you're seeing that comfortability. You're seeing that confidence in play. And, I mean, he just seems very on top of everything right now. And it's not just third source observation of that. I mean, Connor Murphy has said that. Jeremy Colliton has said that. So he's making a really good impression on this team early on. And again, this is the third goalie coming into this season. So it'll be interesting to see how long he can last with this. And right now, he's really not showing any signs of slipping up.
What's ironic is he was the waiver exempt guy. He could go up and down between the Blackhawks and Rockford. So everyone thought, you know, if Subban or Delia made some semblance of taking control of this job and Lankinen continued to sit around, he would eventually have to go to Rockford to get playing time. Now it turns out he may be the guy who is getting playing time, but up here at the NHL level. And the other thing that I thought was real interesting of him, when we talked to him late in training camp, we brought up the waiver exempt status and how Subban and Delia didn't have that, and whether he thought that it would hurt his chances. And he came right back to that reporter's question. He says, no, my job was to come here and win the Blackhawks starting goaltender job. And yeah, he's 25. He's the youngest of the three at 25, wow, so he's no spring chicken, but he's been there under the spotlight. He was a national hero in Finland a couple of years ago at the World Championships, and between having that experience and Jeremy Colliton says with each level that he's advanced, he has managed to meet what was needed to raise his game individually to that particular level. And he says that confidence level, that's half the battle when you're a young goaltender in the NHL. If you have that, it takes you a long, long way. So now let's hear from Connor Murphy, who is off to a really good start himself, because here he talks about some of the kids, including Lankinen, and some real interesting things, also making a Corey Crawford comparison. But you could tell that Connor Murphy's a real fan. So he talks about Pugh Suter and Lankinen, and now being paired with Nikita Zadorov on the back end for the last couple of games. You also hear him discuss kind of the mood swing at home. Not that the Blackhawks were down after the 0-3-1 start. It was still a pretty confident group from what I could tell, even though we aren't allowed in the locker room. But just based on what everyone's saying, and now it's kind of a mood booster to come through and get rewarded here at home. He's also asked about his offensive prowess now, a career-high four-game point streak and a goal on Sunday to give them a two-goal lead once again. And also about that offense, on whether it just happens to be luck, puck luck, or that whether he made a more concerted effort to be involved more offensively this year.
Yeah, I think a bit of both maybe falling my way. Like, for example, the goal tonight, luckily their guy swept it right on my stick in the high slot. So sometimes you seem to get those opportunities where there's lanes and chances that go in. So that's always nice. But winning and having kind of everyone push along is always the most fun.
I know you never expect to score, but everyone always says they want to get more points. Is this something that you can get used to?
Everyone can get used to scoring. Yes. I think it's something that you always have fun with. There's definitely a lot of emotion that goes into scoring with the fans and especially at home with our building and goal song. So that's something that I think everyone misses. I imagine the guys that score a lot like Kaner miss that even more than when I get my mine here and there. It's fun either way. But yeah, obviously everyone likes to score. So it's part of the game.
Connor, rough start to the season on the road, but what does it mean to win these two? What do you think in the dressing this does for you guys?
Yeah, I think it does a lot. I think even more so than the win, just kind of how we seem to piece together our game a little better today than we did the last game against Detroit to start in the first. So I think at this point of the year, it's just important to keep growing. As we talked about in Florida, wanting to make sure our team game gets a little bit better and that we all seem to kind of mesh and grow and kind of put something together here. So that's obviously a small sample size. Tonight we have a big test coming up against better teams on paper for sure that we'll have to really will really show, and those are the games that kind of seem to show whether what you have together and what you don't. So it'll be fun to get to back on the road and see what we have.
Hey, Connor, as a defenseman, what have you seen out of Piu Suter in training camp, and just what makes him tough and how he's going to expand his game in the NHL as the weeks and months go on?
Yeah, he's crafty. I think as a centerman, what sticks out, the guys that can separate and make plays have that that intelligence and the ability to read the ice and read the play and kind of control the way that the rushes are sorting out. So he showed that tonight and kind of had those awareness to get the pucks by guys on the rush or even around the net that touch to get it through. So that's important. And it's impressive to see, obviously, just starting out in the NHL. And definitely we're lucky to have him.
Hey, Connor, what have you seen from Lincoln in these last few games here? I think he's only given up 3 5-on-5 goals.
He's great. Yeah, I think he's a competitor and he seems to have that poise about him, and he's impressive. He seems to take his game really serious and prepares really well for a guy that you can tell wants to be the guy and wants to be the one standing there behind us and being able to take any situation. And he seemed to do that. I think there was times in the first where we were playing well, but we gave up a couple of grade A chances in the slot that he seemed to just shoulder off. And that reminds you of when we had Crow before. He seemed to do the same thing where those guys that show that they can be good starters are ones that are able to make saves, make him look a little easier. And you see the replay and see how big of a chance it really was. So that's huge for us. And we're happy for him that he's continued to grow this way. And he's a fun guy to have back there.
Does that filter throughout the group when you have that a goalie with confidence and believes in himself and can make those big saves?
Yeah, it always does for sure. I think there's just so many momentum shifts in a game and so many times where is going to be a bounce or other teams have really high-powered offensive players that are going to get their looks, whether you're defending well or not. So those are times that if you can weather the storm as a team and especially having the goalie be able to do that, that's going to put yourself in better spots as the game pushes along.
Hey, Connor, how was your pair with Nikita sort of developed over the past few games?
It's been great. I think, especially tonight, we felt probably the most comfortable together. We're just two bigger guys that are going to take pride in defending and trying to use our strength and reach. And tonight, we seemed to do a better job, I thought, of closing guys down on whoever's side of the ice it was, and then being close to support to each other to try to make good plays to outlet out of our zone. So we were able to do that a couple times, especially in the second. And Z's so big that he can close guys, and I have to be able to come over and kind of pick up maybe a loose puck that's trickling behind the net. So those are things that you can continue to develop as a pair, and he's a great player, so definitely a good guy to be paired with.
So with Jonathan Toews and Brent Seabrook not out there on the ice, two guys who wear letters, Patrick Kane is now wearing a alongside Duncan Keith, and now Connor Murphy was rewarded one as well. He's always been a stand-up leader type. He has had an injury bug throughout his career, but when he's been out there on the ice, he's been solid, a real solid defenseman. And, you know, I think people look at that Nick Jalmerson trade a little differently now with what they got Connor Murphy in return. They would have loved to have had him a lot more frequently based on the injuries he's had to go through. But he's truly been a leader type without wearing a letter. And now that he is, he's an interesting guy to listen to. And just some fascinating things to talk about with. You could tell he's a fan of Lankinen and some of these other guys. And now, 27 going on 28 in March. He's not an old guy by any means, but one of the more experienced hands and one of those subtle leaders on this team, along with the likes of Kane and Keith and Shaw, that can kind of set a tone and keep things on a positive level, which is probably what some of these younger guys needed after that 0-3-1 start of the season.
Well, when the Blackhawks made it clear that Connor Murphy was going to get the A on his sweater, I think at first it's a little surprising, and then you think about it, and it's like, well, yeah, you know what? He has been here for a handful of years. He's kind of one of those quiet leaders maybe from the outside, but you hear from what he says around the team, and he seems like more of a vocal leader on the ice. And now this season he's kind of coming into a role where he's producing more offensively and obviously doing what he needs to do defensively and trying things out with him and Nikita Zadorov. So it's almost like, yeah, you expect Connor Murphy to do these types of things now in his fourth year with the Blackhawks. But I really enjoyed, I mean, that goal was beautiful that he scored on Sunday. But
I'm a pass from a Detroit player.
Yeah, that too. But it was just the ability. Honestly, when I'm watching it, it was one of those shoot moments. But not like shoot the puck. You got to shoot. You know, that's everyone's go-to when a team can't score. And that's not the case right now. But it's just the timing of it was perfect. The type of power he put on the shot was perfect, and it was perfectly located too. And it just seems like that's a guy aware of the surrounding, aware of the situation at the time. And it seems like this could be a very good year for Connor Murphy to both help out the team this season and moving forward, working with some of these younger guys, and also just to become a bigger, better leader. Because like you said, Jonathan Toews is not here. Some other guys are not here that typically are in that situation. So it's up to this guy to do that. And so far, early on, he's doing a great job of it.
And the defensive pairs are real interesting now, because DeHaan and Mitchell, they seem to be like a solid, very compatible pair. They've been there since the start, but the little switcheroo going on, they thought originally as a Zadorov and Boqvist, kind of a protector of Boqvist with the big guys, Zadorov might work. But, you know, Zadorov occasionally has his moments, is also that type of player who is still looking to reach his ceiling. And having him and Boqvist, I think Boqvist almost needed that security blanket of going back to Duncan Keith. And by the same token, you can say the same thing for Zadorov with Connor Murphy, who's very steady and defensive-minded. Two big bodies there in that particular defensive combination. We'll see how it works against much better teams on paper here going forward. Nashville coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then the Columbus Blue Jackets coming in to the United Center next Friday and Sunday. Finally, why did it take us this long to get to the power play? Boy, for all the years, it's been absolutely miserable. It's been scoring in six consecutive games, all six games so far. The power play as a total now, 8-for-19. Coming up clutch in situations and really carrying the team and keeping them in contests until the 5-on-5 play could catch up. We finally saw that with, they had 4 5-on-5 goals all season long through the first five games. We had five of them in Sunday's game against the Detroit Red Wings. But the power play has been absolutely lights out, and you have two different types of units to do two things. You have the one shooting type unit, and then you have the other one that's more passing, finding the lanes, don't hold on to the puck very long. Both have been effective, and the real disappointing part of not having fans in, the power play was often a killjoy and would take the air out of the building at the United Center so often the last couple of years, and now it's just disappointing that the building can't be more energized by what the power play is doing right now. But, you know, no Toews, no Doc, no changes in the coaching staff, but for whatever reason, these combination of players, including a handful of new guys who are out there in these combinations, are getting the job done, and it's finally fun to see.
Well, and how many times over the past few years we talked about the struggles of the power play is because all these talented guys either don't know when to shoot, or they shoot too early, or it's they try to look for the perfect pass to get the perfect shot on the highlight reel. Like you just said, no Taves, no Doc, who was a huge presence on that power play. Now you've got your role players who, all right, the Kubaliks, the Canes, they're going to shoot, and then the other guys, some of these younger guys coming into this organization, and, oh, wow, I'm on the power play. I'm going to just set things up to make sure we can get a goal right here. So I'm not saying that's the only reason. I think that's possibly a reason. Jeremy Colliton talked about how they're cleaner with passes. I think that's definitely evident. And the other thing is, it's the power play. When the power play's working, things are going great. And it's a contagious thing where you get the momentum, you get the confidence you're going to score, and then it works the exact same way when it's the opposite, when you're having all these struggles, where it becomes this dreadful environment of, oh man, we really have to score here, otherwise that's going to totally take us down a notch. So I think you're just seeing the opposite end of that spectrum. It's not to take anything away from the Blackhawks, but it's the same conversation when it's not working. It's that demise of, oh my gosh, we have to score right here, and people get a little bit too careful. So it's great to see it on the other end of this happening, and also I think it helps them just get in a better overall scoring mood, because it's more of the fundamental practices and it's more of the things of getting towards the net like Pia Suter is comfortable doing in this young role. So I think that now, and again, it's easy to say this after two games against Detroit with a lot of offense, but it is somewhat bleeding into the 5-on-5 play, and hopefully that thing can maintain. That can stay, because the power play is not going to be like this all year long. It'd be great if it were, but I don't think that's going to happen. So if you can just pull a little bit of that momentum into the 5-on-5, then it's totally worth it.
The two units as they stand right now, Boqvist, Shaw, Kane, DeBrincat, and Strome, that's more of the passing, find your lanes quickly, move the puck as quickly as possible. That's been effective, as had the pretty much look and shoot unit with Keith and Kubalik and Janmark and Suter. And when Walmark was taken out of the lineup for Soderberg, Philip Kurashev went in and was pretty effective on Sunday. Soderberg may eventually find a place on there too as a net front presence, as well as he's played in his first game on Sunday afternoon. Actually, his first shift came on the penalty kill, so it just shows what that guy lumbering big,
yeah.
You know, but shows some of the things that he can bring to the table. So here you have Jeremy Colliton after Sunday's game. He does talk about the power play. Really gives props to some of these young players. Not only Connor Murphy, he really compliments Murphy, but guys like Hagel and Kurashev, and you know, also how the team's structure right now is as good as he has seen it over the last couple of games with what he is trying to implement, something we were talking about at the top of the podcast here. Also, Suter's willingness to get to the net and his production. But mostly he talked about here, at least to start, about how happy he was with the response coming out on Sunday afternoon, how they were able to come out after, you know, an uplifting celebratory win on Friday, their first of the year, and being able to come out and control much of the action on Sunday to get their second consecutive win.
The start, the third period, very solid professional approach, I thought, and we were rewarded for it. So obviously really happy for Suter to, you know, it's a big night for him and helped our team, of course. But a lot of positives for us, recognizing that we got to keep getting better. We certainly can't be satisfied with this performance, but for today, we can be happy.
From what you saw of Suter just on video entering the season, what's translated well to this level?
Yeah, I watched him quite a bit last year when we were trying to sign him, and then just, you know, the beginning of this season. I think he's skating better. I think he's improved his mobility from last year to this year. He's a very smart player. He's really good around the net. But I think his skating, it's allowed him to, he can drive play and you know, get through the neutral zone, get out of D zone. And obviously he's playing with a couple of pretty good players, but you know, if he can help them get out of D zone and get attacking off the rush and in the offensive zone, it can really help us. So, you know, I thought it was a very strong game for him, but going back, even the last couple of games, if you know, the production hasn't always been there, he makes a lot of small decisions that it adds up to being a stable, you know, protect his line mates, protect his teammates. And, you know, but today, great to see him break through offensively. I love that he was willing to shoot, you know, on that 2-1. A lot of guys are just looking to give it to Kaner. And, you know, I just thought it was really a really good sign that he continues to want to be the guy to make a play himself.
Camp's line drove a lot of possession today. What element Hagel added to them, and how do you feel like they've looked?
Yeah, I think really happy with Hags. He's skating very well. He's pressuring the puck. He's you know, there's not a lot of glide in his game. He's able to, again, he protects the guys he's on the ice with by getting back above the puck when he doesn't have it and putting pressure on, causing turnovers. It's allowed them to play a little more in the offensive zone. And when you're playing against the other team's good players, that's what you need to do. You can't just be defending all the time. So, you know, I think the three of them, they've had some really good 5-on shifts the last couple of games. And we'd like to use Higgs a little bit on the kill as well. So that can be some area of growth for him.
Hi, Jeremy. Another power play goal for you guys today. What are you seeing on the power play this year compared to past years?
Well, I think big part of it is execution. We're being cleaner with the puck, breaking pressure, you know, all four guys being an option so we can break pressure. And then, you know, we got, I think, two different ways to score as far as how the units are comprised. You know, Kubi's group, more of a shooting power play, and guys who want to shoot, playing simple but playing clean. And then the other group, you know, Kaner's group, a lot of movement, a lot of interchange, forcing the kill to sort and resort. And if you do that enough times and recover enough pucks, you're going to break through. And I think that's also a big improvement for our team. We're recovering a lot more pucks in the offensive zone on the power play, and that helps you create more.
Hey, Jeremy, would you say that the effort and approach that your team took today, 5-on-5, was the approach that you talked about before the season, strong in all three zones, winning battles, setting up the next shift? Was this Exhibit A of how they need to play to be successful?
Yeah, it was better. I think we've been taking steps forward every game, and sometimes you're going to do everything right, and it's hard. It's a battle. It's not going to go your way all the time, but you give yourself a chance. And I think the pressure on the puck and willingness to skate and to work and to work to get above, to get pucks back, that allows you – you're going to have the puck more, and then it's easier to play, and you're able to play in the offensive zone and draw penalties and create offense. I think 5-on-5, it was nice to see us create more than we have. And but we got to build on it. We got to build on those things and try to continue to find an even higher level of consistency and execution here.
What do you think of Connor Murphy's game? It seems like he's been really good lately.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. He's you know, he's so strong in battles and getting on the right side and physical, and you know, he helps get us out of D zone. But I think his puck plays continue to improve. He's making a lot more clean plays on the breakout once he does get the puck back, and that helps. And you know, I think he's also willing to join as a fourth, fifth guy in the attack, you know, whether that's off the breakout or like on his goal where he you know, he ends up joining, and it's kind of a broken play, but he's there. And nice finish.
And I noticed Kurashev was on that second power play unit. Is he one of those guys that you're comfortable maybe giving him a little bit more responsibility, and is he handling that, you know, nicely?
Yeah, I think his skill set, he's got it in him to play in the power play. You want to be careful with young players and not give them too much too early. Sometimes you lose your focus and stop doing the things you need to do 5-on-5. But, you know, I thought he was good again tonight. And to me, it's just his skating. He's really... I think he's always been a good skater, but just his willingness to keep his feet moving and drive with the puck, get through the neutral zone, you know, skate to put pressure on, to force turnovers. He's made some really big strides in the last few weeks, and so we're going to reward that.
It seems like these last few games that you guys have put a more concerted effort, especially down low, on isolating one-on-ones and then capitalizing on that. Is that part of the game plan for you guys, and are you seeing the rewards offensively as a result?
Well, yeah, I mean, it starts with having a net front. Like if we have someone in front, then any puck to the net can become a chance, and we work to get inside and try to get pucks there. But, you know, finding a way to keep the puck a little bit more, be an option in the offensive zone. Think we're improving there. Again, we talked about 5-on-5. We want to create more. But the last couple of games, we've had more chances. Nice to come through with some goals.
But Jeremy Colleton, a very pleased head coach Sunday, but he is quick to point out, okay, that's one day. It's a positive step, and we continue to need to get better. That you're going to hear that all season long, no matter how optimistic or pessimistic he is after particular games. But you know, when you look at some of these guys on the roster now, and this stresses the importance of what we were talking about earlier of, you know, the message and the tone that guys like Shaw and Murphy and Kane and Keith provide in there. You know, you have some guys who aren't necessarily young, but young enough and experienced and pieces of the puzzle down the road. Kubalik, 25. DeBrincat, 23. Strom, 24 in March. Kurashev is just 21. Boquist, just 20. Ian Mitchell and Brandon Hagel, whom you heard Jeremy compliment there, both 22 years of age. Even Nikita Zadorov is only 24. He'll turn 25 in April. He's another guy who's only here, at least for this year, mm-hmm. contractually. And you're going to see over the course of these 56 games how these guys can grow, what their ceiling and potential is like, what their upside may be, and who are pieces for the future. Something, a phrase we've been using time and again about what this season is all about.
Yeah, I think it's important to pull the positives that Jeremy Colleton is saying about a few of these guys, like Pia Suter saying how his skating ability has improved from last year. He said he watched him a lot when they were trying to sign him out of Switzerland, and I like how he said he makes a lot of small decisions that really pay off. That's typically what you hear about veteran guys or people that have been in the league for quite some time, so it's good to hear that about a young guy like Pia Suter, and that was showing on Sunday, that third goal, or I should say the goal where he did drop it back to Kane, he stole that right out of the neutral zone. I mean, that was kind of just a individually generated chance that turned into a scoring opportunity. So it's good to see that early on. And also what he said about Philip Kurashev saying his willingness to drive with the puck. His goal, I thought, was so interesting because he's got Dylan Strome right on the other side of the net. He can easily just toss it over, and that's typically one of the goals you see. Tic-tac-toe into the back of the net. But he decided to go on his own and muscle through a couple of Detroit defenders and put a little move on Bernier, and it ended up working. So even if he doesn't score there, it's not a goal they need. But it's nice to see he's got that confidence to go ahead and do that, and it's nice to see that he's got the skill set to do it too. So I don't know, like, if it's a goal that they need and he goes for that and they don't score, are you thinking, oh, why isn't he passing it to Dylan Strome? I guess you could always look at both sides of the coin there, but the fact is he thought to do it, he did it well, and it proved to be a goal. That shows what type of player he can be. So again, I think it's important to take specifically the positives that Jeremy Colleton is pulling from these guys, because Jeremy Colleton got an extension. So it's important that he recognizes this type of talent from these guys who are hopefully going to be the future of the organization in a very successful form.
And Kurashev isn't even physically filled out yet. I mean, yeah. the fact that he has his willingness, something Troy said on the postgame show when we brought up the fact that except for Murphy's goal and except for Suter's, the one that capped off the hat trick, the four other goals were scored from the dots on down, mm-hmm. and having a willingness and an aggressiveness to take it there. Now Jeremy Colleton has that on tape. You enjoyed winning on Friday and Sunday. You like that feeling. How did we do it? Right here. So continue to keep on doing it. It's kind of a teaching lesson that the message that he's trying to send out there is working. Now, whether they can do that against a Nashville team and a much more abrasive Columbus team, this is what we get to see here over the coming week. So that will be interesting because, as we said earlier in the podcast, I'm sure the Detroit coaching staff wasn't very happy with their group, which came in looking kind of decent at 2-2, and all of a sudden the Blackhawks outscore them 10-3 over the two contests this week. The other thing I wanted to point out going into the Nashville series, the Predators are coming off two games in Dallas, where they allowed 8 power play goals in 12 chances against the Dallas Stars. 5 in one night, and then another 3 on Sunday. So maybe there is a chance for the Blackhawks power play, 8 for 19. To, you know, they're gonna, you know, the Preds are going to be in a lousy mood though, going back after getting just. I mean, it was a close game on Sunday, but the reason that they lost as well was because of three power play goals that they gave up.
Well, and you also know how weird hockey is. Watch the Blackhawks get 3 power play opportunities in the first period and not able to capitalize or something like that. I'd like to think that they're in a great groove right now, that won't happen. But again, it's not the fact that they're relying on the power play. They're just it gives them that extra boost where whatever the score is, okay, let's try to make this work right now. This is the task at hand right now. Score a power play goal. And every game, that's worked at least once. So that's a great thing to move forward with. And again, it's just something positive every game that they can go into for as long as this lasts. Just because, oh, well, that's still working for us. So it's not like this whole thing is a mess right now, because that's clearly not the case after these two wins. But, you know, no matter what happens in that game, if they can continue this power play success, that's one good thing to pull from and move into the next game. And again, no matter what the score, hey, if we get a power play opportunity here, let's work on that. Let's focus in on not so much pigeonhole our tasks, but let's focus in on that right now, something we can control. And moving forward, that could be big for everything involved.
It was a successful weekend where two victories get you kind of interested and excited about what's going to happen next, how they're going to handle this next challenge. And, you know, with that, we'll sit back and watch that, and we'll probably come back with another podcast a week or so from now, perhaps after they're done with their Columbus back-to-back on Friday and Sunday at the United Center, and we'll get to see and evaluate what, if any, progress was made from individuals or them as a collective group when we come back at you with our next Blackhawk 720 podcast. I want to thank our producer, Curtis Koch, Ernie Scatton, for being the voice of the podcast as well. I want to thank you for listening. Again, we encourage you to subscribe, so whenever one pops up, they'll be right there waiting for you. And you can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at @BowdenTweets. Joe is at @Joe_Brand1. That's the number one. Also follow WGN's radios and WGN Radio Sports Twitter feed too. And we also encourage you to listen to Blackhawks Live every Monday night at 7 o'clock. We usually have a Blackhawks player and an alum on, Nick Ismondi as well. The show has been fun so far and moves pretty quickly. It's all Blackhawks conversation every Monday night at 7 when the Blackhawks are off. So keep an eye out. Put that on your schedule as well. And we also want to thank our new mascot, Plankton, who really wanted to – I think Plankton wanted to talk about the cat.
You're probably right.
He was trying to. We were ignoring Alex DeBrinket, and he was outside the door wanting to put his 2 cents in worth. And I think we put him to sleep because we haven't heard him for a little bit.
He tires himself out after meowing and not getting any feedback from us at all. But yeah, maybe we should get an interview with my cat and Alex DeBrinket, or maybe Alex DeBrinket's dogs, and see how that goes.
Let's make it happen. All right, for Plankton and for Joe Brand, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
How about that?
They've won it.
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup.
Thanks for listening to the Blackhawks 720 podcast. Tell a friend, subscribe, and join the conversation. And follow the guys on Twitter @BowdenTweets and @Joe_Brand1.
That was great.